We got a lot of ground to cover, so let's pray and jump in, shall we? Our precious Lord, thank you for this wonderful day, this weekend we've had. Thank you for your people that come here in this early session to dig into your word and get hold of some things in our lives. Our Lord, we're dependent upon you and upon your Holy Spirit to have the free reign in our hearts and lives, in our thoughts and our feelings, emotions even. And so draw us today and let us come, though, with the open heart to sit at your feet, to let you do something with us. May we become better, a better believer, and may Christ be seen in us in a better way. So I ask your help. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we have this session entitled The Discipline of a Christian. And in the next service, The Trials of a Christian. So we got a theme and a focus this morning. I trust it'll be a blessing. Some of this you may say, I would rather we dealt with something else. There are things that are easier to talk about. More fun to think of the glories of the Lord. We don't like to deal with these subjects here. But this is part of the Christian race. Part of the Christian life. And so, we are in Hebrews 12. There will be a number of other passages we'll consider. Hebrews chapter 12. I certainly enjoyed that time yesterday at that banquet. And that was a blessing to me. And seeing the warmth, the fellowship, the love of God's people, desiring to be together and to share together. And of course, the food was good, and all of you different ones who helped prepare that. Thank you for that. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I realize your words may be a little different, so I'm trying to give it to you carefully to see how it compares. Hebrews 12, 1, the end of the verse. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. On the outline, our first point is, what's going on here? We're in a race, aren't we? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. This is sort of an introduction. And then we get into the subject of the discipline of the Christian. So, what's going on here? We're in a race. Whether we like it or not, things are going by. Life is going by. Remember the roadway last Sunday? And the stick figure on there, we're on the roadway. But on each side of us, the world is going by. And it is so easy to get carried along with the world and to join in different things that the world would love us to do. However, as we're on this, the walk, the race, lay aside every weight, things that would bog us down. I think of the basketball players, and when they get ready to check into the game, they pull off the warm-up jacket. They pull off the warm-up trousers. You don't play basketball wearing those things, do you? So let us run with patience the race that's set before us, but lay aside every weight. But then there are the sins. They do so easily beset us. They trip us up. So they're encumbrances, bulk. We can get some bulk in our lives. There's other kind of bulk, isn't there, beside the clothing. It so easily trips us up. Let us run with patient endurance, perseverance, steady persistence, a race. Okay, but here's the second thing of what's going on, verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So, we're working to get the sin out of our lives. Isn't that another thing that's going on here? Sin. Lay aside these sins. So it speaks of striving against sin. Sin needs resisted. Sin sent Jesus to the cross. Sin takes souls to hell. So we're striving against sin. Has there been anything in your life this last week you have been opposing, striving against, confessing it to God, asking for His help for victory? Or are you above that? Is there nothing like that going on in your life? There are some things that are very hard to overcome. Striving under blood, or resisting under blood, striving, agonizing against sin. Maybe a word you have there. So, okay, but what else is going on? We're being chastened. So let's read now verses 5 to 8. And follow carefully, because your word may explain better the word I've got in my Bible, or mine may help give you the idea of what yours is talking about. So verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation, which speaketh unto you as unto children. And here's the exhortation. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, or the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening or discipline, this is why the enduring process is going on. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye a bastard, illegitimate child, and not sons. So, first I asked, what's going on here? Well, we're being disciplined. We're being chastened. Why are we being chastened? The verse says, because you're forgetting. You're forgetting. God's working on you. Let him deal with you. And it's easy to forget that. It's easy to jump into some struggle or difficulty in your life and give no thought that God's doing something here. This is by design. Don't forget, there's a chastening going on in our lives. We are being disciplined. And if I understand the scripture right, there's something gone on in your life and my life this week that involves God reaching into our lives, putting on some brakes, or putting on a little pressure, or doing something in our lives. And it says, don't forget that. Don't forget. God's always doing something in our lives. So we're exhorted by this. We're encouraged by this. I think we're encouraged to deal with our sins. Deal with these things. Remember the striving against a sin? So don't forget, God's working on us. Okay, then letter D on your outline. What's going on here? There's a proverb being carried out. So I'm going to go back and read it from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And it's quoted almost the same. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. Okay, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Those verses are saying several things. One, don't despise it. Don't despise it. Number two, don't be weary. Number three, he's correcting us, but it means he loves us. Number four, it says he delights in us. You know a family where the children are left to themselves and don't have the discipline? Generally, it's an indication those children aren't loved very much. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. But he that loveth his son or child will chasten him betimes. So, here's another verse to connect to it that I don't have in your outline. And you might like to write it there. Psalm 94 and verse 12. And I will read several verses there in Psalm 94. So it might be worth your turning back there to look at it. A proverb is being carried out. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. Blessed is that man. Okay, Psalm 94, 7. And verse 12 is the one we want. But leading up to it, yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Whatever my situation is today and what I'm struggling with, God's not paying any attention to me. Do you ever think that way? We may not think that way, but do you ever act that way? God's not paying any attention to me, is he? They say that. Verse 8, understand, you brutish among the people and you fools. When will you be wise? He that planted the ear, don't you think he's going to hear you? He that formed the eye, don't you think he's watching? I kind of paraphrased that. Verse 10, he that chastises the heathen, won't he deal with you too? Shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, doesn't he know everything that's going on in your life? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And now verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. That is a wonderful blessing from God, that he's getting after us. You know, great blessing to have mom and dad get after you. Did you know that? Oh, okay. The son in whom he delights. However, it is very easy to... Wait. If you still have that verse in front of you, the end of that verse says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. So two things go together. Here's the book. Here's what it says. God's hand on us. God's hand on a people with the law, the Bible in their hand. When God's hand is on us and the Bible is in our hand, we're going to learn. We're going to be helped. God's going to do things in our lives. So to be in this book as God is doing things in our lives. However, it is sure easy to have our eyes on other people. So, you know, like this. I preached that yesterday at the banquet. And Scott went home and couldn't sleep. He had trouble all night long. So I can assume God's dealing with him about sins in his life. Did I put that together all right? No, no. We're not to be judging other people. And it may not be because of any sin. It may be some of the ladies cooking. Oh, no, I didn't get sick. Didn't happen to me. So, no. Next service, we're talking about the trials and temptations that God lets us go through. And there are some experiences we go through. It's hard to tell. Is he getting after me for some sin? Or is this a testing of faith, strengthening my faith? And so, you and I are not capable of discerning what God is doing in somebody else's life. We are not smart enough. We don't know what God's purposes are. And we don't know the other person's life. Now, maybe we see something on the outside. But it is not our place to be passing judgment on other people and saying, boy, God's after you for some sin, isn't he? No, it may not be that at all. You can be totally wrong. So, if we'll have God's book in our hand and we'll consider what's going on in our life, that God is doing it. So, I said that to lead up to this. Job, remember his friend Eliphaz came? And those three friends, they just all assumed that what happened to Job is because of his sin. But they were totally wrong. It was the devil up against God saying, he's just serving you because you've blessed him. And God saying, have you considered my servant Job? And God bragging about Job. And Eliphaz says, blessed is the man that the Lord chastened. Eliphaz, you're all wrong. This is not God's chastening in Job's life. So, if you want the reference, that's Job 5:17. And the verse there is similar. Behold, happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. Therefore, Job, don't despise the chastening of the Almighty. And he was completely wrong on the purpose of what Job was going through. And you can be wrong. And what I said about Scott is wrong, isn't it? Okay. Was that him or his wife that said that? It was him. Huh? Okay, let's get back to our outline. What's God doing? What is God doing? So we're going to go through verse 6. He disciplines those he loves. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The disciplining, the word meaning to, like the child training, to correct steering into a right direction. It's the same word in Ephesians. I have bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the word nurture is the same word here as this discipline. Blessed is the man whom the Lord disciplines and chastens. And it's in Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten or discipline. Be that zealous therefore and repent. So it is a proof of his love. And his caring for us. Whereas a child that doesn't have discipline, they can question their dad or their mother's love. They don't have time for me. They don't care about me. And a bunch of misbehavior by children is just to get the parents' attention. To get some love from them. But it's not that way with God. He loves us and we are precious to him. Okay, but under what is God doing, verse 6 again, the end of the verse, he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He receives sons. He accepts us into his family. He cherishes us as one of his own. He welcomes us to his heart. Excuse me. He wants us for himself. In fact, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But we are already accepted in the Beloved. So he receives sons. It's a pledge of his love and his acceptance that he deals with us. He purchased us with his precious blood. How special we are to God. You believe it? Then do you believe this next part? Verse 7, if you endure chastening or the things that are going on in your life, the disciplining that he is putting you through. What's happening is God dealeth with you as with sons. I like those words. He deals with us. He's working on us. If you're the child in the home, you'd rather your parents left you alone. Wouldn't you? Rather they left you alone? Do you want God to leave you alone? A child left to himself bring his mother to shame. What if you're left to yourself? What kind of a testimony will you have? How much growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord will you do if you're left to yourself? So He is dealing with us. The hardships we endure are for a discipline, a disciplinary action. So what I've got translated, if you endure chastening, really those words are, they need turned around there somewhat. We are enduring some hardening, some disciplining that God is doing in our lives. And it says, blessed is that man and happy is that man. I am glad that I have God's attention. You may not be glad to have a dad or mother's attention, but I'm glad to have God's attention. Letter D, one more point. Every son will have some scourging. Verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. So the word chasteneth can be translated discipline. And it may not be referring to spanking. It may just refer to that God is doing something to order our lives, to line them up. Just like in the boot camp of being trained to know how to function in these certain skills that are required or tasks or jobs that are tasks. But the word scourging, that's the whip. That's what Paul had 5 times 40 stripes. You remember that? That's a hard word. And the point is, every son will have some scourging. Did God ever do something like that to you? I'm glad we don't have to get very many of this kind of things. If God deals with us once, that should be enough, shouldn't it? So I brought another object lesson to show you. Those that were there yesterday. Oh, what do you suppose I got? Huh? Another pipe. No. Oh, this was the way my dad shaved. This would be hung up there and a straight blade and you'd sharpen it. It's called a razor strop. Boy, he could shave about 5 minutes. He could whip it all off. He was good at that. We're spoiled now. If I had to shave that way, I'd be in trouble. However, that was good for spankings. Oh, wow. And so one of my memories is of my dad using his razor strop on me. I was in, I think, 5th grade. Anybody here in 5th grade? We were in the school had 3 classes, 4th, 5th, 6th grade, and my brother was there too, so he must have been 6th grade, and I was 5th grade. And one-room school, and with a wood-burning stove in the middle, a pot-belly stove, and so a wood shed with the wood. And so that teacher, he carved out a paddle. And back in those days, you were still allowed as a teacher to use the paddle. And so the teacher was giving my class a test. I think it was history or geography. And I was working on that test, and I could remember the exact place on a map or something where you found this. It was just in there in the library, and went in and pulled out the book. And the teacher was working with another class. And then he wondered where I went. And then he come looking, and I was caught. So only time in my life I ever remember getting that wooden paddle. And right up just around the corner, everybody can hear it. Everybody knows it. Whack, whack, whack. But my brother is there too. And so he goes home and tells my dad. And so one day, the wood paddle and this razor strop. And you know what? I learned. You don't get away with cheating. Did you ever learn that? You don't get away with cheating. You might think you're getting away with it, but I learned something else. If I do wrong, my dad is going to deal with me. And I don't want to feel that razor strop again. Once is enough. Wouldn't it be good if every lesson we learned one time? One time. I thought about bringing the other instrument from our house, but it wouldn't go in the suitcase. My mother used, I don't know if you remember, the old yardsticks that were made out of hardwood. A little extra thick, a little extra wide yardstick, and they were hip. And I remember, but I can only remember that once too, because she didn't really aim real well. If we were jumping around and then it hit down in the legs and that, and again, once was enough. Have you ever known an experience of the Lord scourging in your life? One thing about it is, what is there, I've been trying to think of this, going on in the lives of these folks right here that would be scourging from the Lord? Hopefully, none of us need that, hopefully. And yet the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And you play with sin now, and you may still be getting the whippings for 50 years. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. told us, every dissipation of youth, where you just live it up and you do whatever you want, is paid for with a draft on old age. That it comes back to demand its payment years later. You sowed, the weeds grow. And even that becomes a discipline of God in our lives. What if it never happened? You got away with it. No. Do you ever get away with sin? It just doesn't happen, does it? Okay. Number three. How are we going to respond? We go back to these verses again. Verse 5. You can forget. We can forget he's dealing with us. We can forget the exhortation. The word of encouragement speaks unto you as unto children. Like children in the family, my son, don't despise his chastening. So I have the point here, I've already said, God is working with us about something all the time. You believe it? God is working with us about something all of the time. Until we get to glory, as long as we're in this flesh and living in the presence of the world, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're not there yet. God is working with us, dealing with us all the time. If we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're going to be changed into that same image from glory to glory. He is changing us into that image. Again in verse 5, we can despise. We can lightly esteem, lightly regard His discipline. Oh, it's nothing. I didn't plan well, and that's why I got in this trouble. Or we don't want Him disturbing us, to despise it. I wonder if you and I have ever given God the reaction, leave me alone. I've seen children tell their parents that. I've seen children pull away, leave me alone. Maybe that's happened to you. But maybe we're doing it to God too. Leave me alone. No, we don't need left alone. And this is how we can respond. Lightly cast it off or loathe His reaching into our lives. Or just thinking, He had nothing to do with this. Okay. The third thing in verse 5 is we can faint under His rebuke. Faint meaning to lose heart under His rebuke. Let's see. I better not take time for it. I've got here a half a dozen scriptures that use this word rebuke. And I want to be the kind of person that can accept a rebuke. If another believer pointed something out to you, could you accept it? Could you take it? A friend or a loved one. And what if they come to you and said, I'm worried about you. And it ends up being a rebuke. There's something going on in your life. This verse says you can faint under His rebuke. It can be God's rebuke. He may rebuke you just by, like you're running into a wall. You're trying to do something. You're gung-ho for this. And wham! You fall down. Disappointed and failing to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But wait, maybe God's trying to rebuke something. Maybe you're running ahead of Him. We may not want to submit to His correction. Believers, we're to have a testimony without rebuke. Philippians 2:15. The preachers in 2 Timothy 4, to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Okay, letter D at the bottom. We can endure the chastening. We ought to endure it. Endure the hardships. It may just be through a rough, harsh boss that God gives you. You like this job, but it's that foreman. Well, I'll bet you God put that foreman there for an experience in your life right at this time. And we can endure the hardships. Or we can, if we know there's something special God's dealing with us about, we can say, this is too hard. I don't want to deal with it. You ever felt that way? I don't want to deal with this. Well, but God says, I want you to deal with it. My goal is that you be conformed to the image of Christ. Or maybe you're struggling over, remember the words resisted unto blood striving against sin? And maybe we get feeling like deliverance will never come. Oh, I'm never going to get the victory over this. Well, climb back up. Find another Bible verse. Some more seasons of prayer before God. We can endure the chastening. You believe that? Can you? Okay. Next part, verse 9. Furthermore, we've had fathers, and I haven't read these verses, have I? We've had fathers of our flesh, our biological or human father in our family, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. You know what? I never doubted my dad's love. I was not afraid of my dad. I was only afraid of doing wrong. And I reverenced him and have had nothing but respect for him. What if I had come home and Dad just treated it so lightly? Heard you got in trouble today. Ha ha ha, sirs, you're right. And what if he left it at that? What he did made sure that the lesson found its target in my heart. We can reverence God. The verse says, we gave reverence to the fathers. We recognized and respected His hand in our lives. God's hand, reverence, because He's always right. He's always good. He's always long-suffering, though. He never does flare up at us. Did you ever have God spank you because He got mad and flared up at you? Well, you may have got it from an earthly father or mother that they lost control. You drove them too far and they lost it. We parents aren't supposed to lose it. We're supposed to be under control. But sometimes we get spankings that way. God is always long-suffering and right and good. Our need is to humble our proud hearts so that we can profit from what He is trying to teach us. Okay, letter F. We can be in subjection to the Father of our spirits. That's the way the word is here. Verse 9. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And let me read on. They verily, for a few days, you know, our growing up years, they chastened us, disciplined us after their own pleasure. But He does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. We'll come back to that. Verse 11, no chastening for the present, right now, seeing that to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Don't you like the word afterward? The child that just, you know, sometimes they just can't get themselves under control. Till finally they end up getting a spanking. And then all of a sudden, their spirit is subdued, and there's peace, and there's the afterword of a good experience and a tender heart. We can be in subjection to the Father of our spirits. And it says, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised. That means worked over by it. Take them out to the woodshed and work them over a little bit. That's the meaning of that. To them which are exercised thereby. Okay. So I put down for letter G. We can be exercised by it. We can accept it for what God is doing. We can be trained by it. The other side of it is ignoring that God is trying to do something and the attitude, I can get through this myself. I can handle it. How many children are going to try their best to shake off the spanking they get as a very light matter and just kind of laugh at it? Have you ever had one that determined they're not going to cry no matter how much you spank them? Are we willing for God to do the training? Or are we going to be the tough man that I can handle this too? And then I'll go back to that sin again or that disobedience again. Or, you know, we don't really have God working a paddle on us, but there are some difficulties that He gets us into. And we, instead of accepting it from God, may seek other means of relief. A few pills will help me get through this. What is God's purpose? Let's pick out these things that are in this passage and then add just a couple other things to it. I see you do have Psalm 94:12 there at the end. I forgot that. Okay, what is God's purpose? Letter A, to get us disciplined. To get us trained. A disciplined child is a beauty to watch. See them responding to parents' instructions, controlled and behaved. That's what we mean by a discipline in this sense here. So that's God's purpose, to get us disciplined. In verse 7 and 8, it is for discipline that you endure. If you are enduring the chastening, God's dealing with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father doesn't do that? So, let's read the verses in Psalms. And we do ask the question, What is God's discipline in 2009 in our modern day families where we don't get spankings anymore? What is discipline that's going on in our lives? And I've listed a few things, and maybe you have something. Or maybe it's some trouble we bring in ourselves. And God's letting the trouble hit us. Maybe we're reaping the consequences of earlier sowing. Maybe we're banging our head against the wall. And I mentioned, Dr. Jones, every dissipation of youth is paid for with a draft on old age. I can tackle some job in my car and just head into it, and I can't get things to come loose. I can't get them to work. Pretty soon I scrape my knuckles off and things like that. And then I think, I haven't stopped to pray and ask God for help. Haven't even thought about God. And I'm struggling along. Had a neighbor boy watching me once, and I don't know what happened, but he said, "Doesn't that just make you want to cuss?" I said, No, it doesn't just make me want to cuss. But I think, have I brought God into this? Or am I running ahead and on my own? So, Psalm 119, these verses. I don't know if you've seen these or not, but let's read them. 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. What made a difference in his life between the going astray and keeping the word? What's the shift? I was afflicted. God got working in my life. Verse 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Have you felt his hand on you? Could you tell what the purpose was? Affliction corrects us, and affliction teaches us. And then back in Hebrews again, he does it for our profit. In verse 10, our parents did it after their own pleasure, but he does it for our profit. There's going to be some good. All things work together for good. Romans 8:28. So this affliction or discipline, however it is a blessing in disguise. It is for our sakes. It is for our benefit. And then verse 10, that we might be partakers of his holiness, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. It is a means to our sanctification, making us like himself. And then in verse 11, to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness, the afterwards, a quieted soul, peaceable fruit. And to bring us a blessing in Psalm 94:12, and I won't go back there, because how blessed it is to get corrected by God. And to have him, you know, take a child, they can get obnoxious. And they need some discipline. Get some of the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction shall drive it far from them. I hope you're grown-ups, most of you here, that we don't have some evil and obnoxious ways hanging on in our lives. God may have to deal with us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. 1 Corinthians 11, if we'll judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged. In verse 31, if we'll walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. Okay, I need to stop. Can you tell what God's doing in your life? We're dealing here with disciplining for some conduct and behavior that's not good. But in the next service, we're dealing with those trials that come into our life that has nothing to do with conduct or behavior that's wrong. Can we make that difference? Let's pray. Our Lord, bless this word and help us to learn and to grow and to see what you're doing in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.